Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, welcome to another edition of the Hebrew Life Academy, where we talk about the Israelite way of life. I am your host, Elder V. This show is brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. It truly, indeed, is a pleasure to be here with you on another Shabbat, the feast. Seventh day that the Most High has established, where we can actually refresh ourselves and be refreshed by Him, His presence to move out. Yasharala, it's rise, Israel. It definitely is time. Let's go before the Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. It's not going to be before you long, as we haven't been for the last couple of months or so, but we're looking forward to in this Gregorian calendar new year, which we don't actually adhere to, because well, we know that man has thought to change times and seasons, and the calendar has been changed, especially them having you believing that the ninth month is the 12th month that they begin to celebrate this holiday called the winter solstice and the worship of Tammuz and their false Christ and their false image of Christ, saying that he was born during this time. It absolutely has nothing to do with this time. And if I hear another person tell me Jesus is the reason for the season, I just might crucify them. I'm just kidding, but I don't ascribe to the word Jesus, us knowing that the 1500s letter J was created, comes from Isos, which actually talks about a pig. It's a derivative of the word Zeus. He said, those that are called by my name. He said, salvation is in his name. So we don't want to use a false name. But to whom much is given, much is required, and there are many who are not in the knowledge. But at the same time, many choose to be ignorant, for the information is out there. And some just will choose to remain ignorant, as 1 Corinthians or 14 chapter tells us. So when you find yourself trying to call upon a name and you call upon a false name and you realize that it's not becoming your salvation in the times of Jacob's trouble and distress and turmoil, you'll understand why. Nevertheless, we don't want to get caught up into this very strong spirit that they call Christmas. I'm even having a hard time with it's not my lesson today, but I'm having a hard time with people even approaching me saying Merry Christmas when they're actually saying Happy Christ Massacre. But we know that in the Christian the Catholic Encyclopedia, that Mass stands for death sacrifice. It's a time where the pagans and the Romans actually celebrated the death of Christ, which is why they always have images of him on the cross. And even in the Catholic churches, they have him on the cross. They want you to relive that crucifixion constantly so that you feel a sense of guilt and so that they can also, in your mind, tell you that this is what we did to the best of you. Get out of line and this is what we'll do to you, which is why they constantly burn crosses on the lawns of the people that were fighting for freedom in the 50s and 60s and tortured them and hung them from a tree, just as our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, was hung from a tree. Scripture tells us. Even in the Catholic Chronicles back in September 1885, is when they switched the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday, stating that their authority they were saying that the Catholic Church is above the Bible. And Sunday was their mark of authority. So they've established it with all of their churches that are offshoots of the Catholic Church. When you talk about a Protestant church, you talk about the church that reformed and protested, the Lutherans, the Methodists, even your Baptists, and the different sects. These are all derivatives of the Catholic Church that changed the worship day from Saturday to Sunday. What I kind of wanted to talk about this today on Shabbat, this particular lesson, was there's so much conversation being had about what is the mark of the beast and will it be a chip? Is the mark of the beast Sunday worship? That's another conversation that's out there. Also, another one on the forefront is transhumanism, which kind of combines the chip and the transforming of DNA through genetic modification. And we see a lot of attacks on our DNA through radioactivity, chemtrails, GMOs and GE foods, fluoridated water, nanite robots, nanotechnology that's actually reconfiguring the genetic structure of man. As we become more technologically advanced, we begin to depend on these. We're assimilating and associating ourselves with these gadgets to where they become a part of us. It seems like the ultimate goal is to get the gadgets smaller and smaller until they're within us and on us and a part of us. When you look at Google Glass and information that people choose to have at their fingertips, and you think about these microchips that can automatically regulate the content and insides of your body if it needs dosages, medicines. When we talk about nanorobots that they tell you will go in and fight a cancer, but they can also destroy you at the click of a button. When we talk about vaccinations and the release of nanites through chemtrails that none of us can avoid, this ever so much makes it a necessity to learn how to eat as it pertains to the dietary laws that the Most High has given us. It becomes a necessity. And then when you talk about the cleansing of one's temple, you know, when we talk about the defiling of the temple as it pertains to people trying to figure out what the actual mark of the beast is, well, you know, one of the marks, when you talk about Satan and the beast in that image, you have to realize and come back to the fact that the temple is you as a person, and when you defile that temple and let something consume you and take it over, you do become transformed. Let's go back to what Scripture said. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son, man, the Messiah. We see so many things set in place, in motion all around us that is akin to that time right before the floods. People giving in marriage, homosexuality. If you really do some studies out of the book of Enoch, and really understand Genesis, the sixth chapter, fallen angels sleeping with the daughters of men, Nephilim, the splicing of genes, the splicing of genetic materials as it pertains to animals. There was hardly nothing from the earth that was pure and that was whole during that time except for Noah and his family that escaped when the floods came. I hope you liken yourself to, just as a sidestep, liken yourself to what Noah was doing, finding yourself in ministry and preparing the way for the coming of Christ, because when it comes and when he hits, it's going to be sudden. But let me not deviate. Let me get back to some of the conversations, because even with the different aspects and the different conversations of what is the mark of the beast, and of course our lesson today has to deal with the laws. We deal with the laws, the statutes and commandments, but we're talking about the Sabbath, because one of the marks that they're talking about is saying that if you keep Sunday worship, that could be the mark, and that Saturday worship, make sure that you don't have the mark. And, well, I have not formulated an opinion, because one thing is for sure, I'm not taking any chips, and I will continue to keep the Sabbath on the seventh day, as the Most High has described for us to do. Let's look at Matthew 12 and 8. I'm just going to read a few scriptures around that as we have this conversation about the Sabbath. And as it says in the Ten Commandments over there, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Does anybody out there know which one that is out of the ten? See, we know that we have the ten, which is it's the fourth commandment, in case you don't know. It's to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. The ten covers the entire 600-something commandments that were given to us, and a lot of them aren't applicable to these times because we no longer have the temple, we no longer have to make blood sacrifices, and we no longer stone people to death when they commit a sin that's blasphemous to the Most High because of grace and because of the death of our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. But if you can keep the ten, and the fourth being the Sabbath, then you find yourself, as the book of Revelation talks about, we're going to get into that because there's some things in Revelation I want to bring out about Sabbath and those who have the testimony of Christ. First, Matthew 12 and 8. Matthew 12 and 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Indeed, I'm doing all New Testament scriptures for these people that want to delineate between old and new and say that the old is done away with, when that's a fallacy. When the Messiah came, he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. He was spoken of in Isaiah, and so we know that the entire volume of the book, if you understand precepts and a little bit here and there, then you realize you do not divide the testaments and say one is done away with. That is another trick that these seminaries, the Catholic Church, and these Jesuits have played upon these people that call themselves Christians and want to say that we're under just a new covenant and we can do away with the old, which is why nobody reads the Old Testament. Nobody reads the prophets. They don't even understand the prophets. And when you look at Acts 13 and 13, you see that every Sabbath the disciples, after Christ had ascended into the clouds, would go to the synagogue to hear the reading of the laws, read the book of the prophets, and then they would begin to exhort one another, what you call preaching today. And I think that's becoming a lost art for those that are awakening. We're getting so caught up into what man is doing, laws of the passing, World War III, RFID chips, and we're getting away from what Scripture said, that we must encourage one another with songs, with spiritual songs and hymns. And as we see the day approaching, we're supposed to begin to exhort, as Apostle Shaul, Paul did in Acts the 13th chapter. He began to affirm the word. A lot of these programs that are out here, YouTube, people waking up, whatever you want to call yourself, a lot of them are fear mongers. And they say things to people, but they don't actually preach deliverance. They don't talk about how to come into the knowledge of the Messiah, how to accept him as your Savior, how to repent, actually repent and turn to the commandments, which is a 180-degree turn, not a 360. You don't repent and continue doing what you're doing. You conform to these statutes, these commandments, because this is a moral blueprint for life, and this is what you will be judged by. So there comes a time, especially in the Shabbat, that we as believers who are awake must learn to encourage each other, like count it all joy. And though these weapons are forming in front of us, that no weapon formed against us can prosper, and it's important for us to understand these things. Let me get back to these scriptures in the New Testament that talk about the Sabbath and affirm it. Matthew 24:20. I'm just going to go through a bunch of them, and then we're going to get into Revelations. 24:20 says, "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day," because we have restrictions on the Sabbath. Do me a favor and don't take the Sabbath lightly. We're not to trade money. That is the one day that we are to pull out of this pagan system, this Roman world. It's like I told you about the pastor that's shopping in Walmart that's telling me, don't take Jesus out of the season because Jesus is the reason for the season. And so I just thought that was amazing. This is why the Father said he's going to start to give you pastors after his own heart that will not keep these pagan holidays and festivals and the worship of Tammuz and winter solstice. We know Christ was not born in the snow in the dead of winter. Come on, we fully understand that. There was no blizzards going on where you could see the stars and know that there was a child laying in a manger. We do know that this is the worship of Tammuz, and Ezekiel tells us about women in the temple weeping for Tammuz when Ezekiel had a vision of this time where you would have the wailing women. They call for the mourning women. They've taken that out of context today, and they're actually worshiping and weeping for an image of a false Christ that has been forced upon us, beat into us as slaves. This goes back to even the Spanish Inquisition, where the Catholic Church killed millions of people to force this religion on them. And yet Khazarian Jews who live over in the Promised Land that were put there in 1948 according to the Balfour Treaty, they did not want to accept Islam or Catholicism, so they adapted Hebrew, created Yiddish, and began to follow the Tetragrammaton, something they created. I think the most amazing thing now that I'm starting to hear, and let me just say this real quick, a lot of the so-called Jewish people, which are actually synagogue of Satan, Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9, are trying to flee Israel. Israel has the number two highest, second highest skin cancer rate in the world. How could the chosen people not be able to live in a climate that's supposed to be their promised land? So you mean you've been promised to go to a place that's going to just destroy you and you can't live there because it's not your land? The land doesn't even function for them as it functions for the children of Israel, which is why they get a little precautious when they start to see a lot of the children of Israel come over into that land. They started destroying them, killing them, forcing them out, pushing them out, because when we connect back to our God, the Most High God, and the land, will become a strong nation again. I've heard reports of them saying that it's so much contention in Israel, and they don't want us to know or see it, that people are going back to Germany and Russia to live, to create businesses. They think there's more prosperity because it's not their land. They were forced there and begin to try and take it from the Palestinians. And there's so much murder and corruption over there, but it's a blackout from the news media because we know that the Zionist controlled media will only show us what they want us to see to keep us just inundated with pleasures and entertainment and keep us off the truth. Let me go to some more of these scriptures because I kind of get on a roll when I begin to talk about some of these things in the media, but today is our day to stick with the commandments. So let's look at Mark 2, 27 and 28 for all the New Testament Christians, because I'm going to preach these statutes, laws, and commandments until the day I die. We're going to talk about the reason why in Revelations 1 quick second, because this is what we've been called to do. You and you alone. It's not only just the pastor preach. You preach in your household. Every man is the pastor of his family. And if every man would pastor his family, every household within a community would begin to be strong, and we can take back what they're trying to destroy in our communities. And this is what churches don't say. They make you think you need to come to a building when the Most High told us, I do not dwell in temples made by hand. He dwells inside of our bodies, which is why we must respect it by conforming to the statutes, laws, and commandments. Mark 2, 27 and 28. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. That's all the more reason why you should be worshiping and praising on this day, because he created this day just for you to be able to be restful. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, every day he supplied them with manna and quail. And on Friday, he would give them double. On the sixth day, he would give them double so that on Saturday they didn't have to do anything. And every day that he gave them manna and quail, the manna and quail would expire and would be of no good for the next day, because he wanted them to use what he gave them for that day and not become hoarders or covetous. But knowing that on Saturday, the next day, yes, he knew it was important to give them double on the sixth day so that they would be sustained on the day of rest. That is key to understand that he knows that he supplies. I don't care what company, corporation you work for, that's not your living. It's the Most High that keeps us, protects us, and provides for us. And he does on the sixth day make sure that everything is in place, and you should make sure everything is in place, so that on the seventh day you're not in the marketplace, you're not cooking, you're not working. I know there's grace. Some of you have to work. But if you have to work, you don't have to go out to buy these lunches and cook, and you don't have to have idle conversation, and you can still be into the Word, and you can still fellowship with the believers. Stay in a mindset of the fourth commandment, which we must keep, and all the churches have done away with. I'll get a few more scriptures, and then I want to hurry up and get to Revelations, because I want you to understand the importance of these commandments upon his people, the remnant that are awaking. These dry bones are living again. We're coming to life. It's only given to a few to come back to the commandments. And there's a reason why, because these commandments, which I'm going to read in Revelations, the keepers of these commandments are the ones that are going to walk through the gates of the city. Those that do not keep these commandments will not walk through the gates of the city. Those that do not keep these commandments will not have a hedge around them as Job had around him when Satan desired to attack him. Those who keep these commandments will have a stamp, a mark, and a seal upon their head. And at the beginning of the program, you heard me say that some are saying that, and it's true, the commandments, as spoken of in the Old Testament, do provide a seal on your forehead, between your frontlets, and in your right hand. And it is true that Satan is trying to copy the Most High by creating another mark that he's going to put in those that follow him and worship the image of the beast and the beast in their right hand and on their foreheads. But he's trying to emulate and get his people that will be destroyed with him, because he knows what his ultimate demise is. So, but those that have the mark that the Most High gives, it will have to do with those that are awake to the fact that his commandments and his laws are what's going to keep you and separate you and cause you to be Kodesh. You know what Kodesh is? That's set apart and sanctified. Not the way they talk about these churches rolling around in the ground and stammering some crazy, calling upon demons and Satan. That's not the Ruach. That's not the Spirit. The Spirit is wisdom. Let's read Acts 13 and 14, and then I want to hurry up and rush to Revelation. The only thing I will say is that we who are awake and call ourselves the Israelites, Hebrews, followers of the Most High, we do take away the essence of joy of knowing him. The Father never took away our celebratory aspect of coming together and worshiping him. He never said that that had to be done away with. You still can praise him in a song and in a dance. David danced out of his clothes. Miriam played the tambourine. I could go on and on and on about the aspects of joy, but the Most High and the Ruach don't act unseemly. They don't cause you to act unseemly. That is the spirit of Bacchus, a demonic spirit that we saw infused into the worship of the Greek temples when they were trying to combine the Christian followers and the pagan followers into one aspect, and they would have orgies in the temple. So that's why we see people that still try and follow this working up of the flesh and stirring of the emotions. But if your joy is predicated upon your knowledge, that is a totally different thing within itself. Acts 13 and 14, but when they departed from Perga, they came into Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So let me give you some of these scriptures. Acts 13, 27. Verse 42, verse 44, Acts 15 and 21, Acts 16 and 13, Acts 17 and 2, Acts 18 and 4, Hebrews 4 and 4, verse 7, verse 10, Luke 4 and 16, Luke 6 and 5, Luke 23 and 54. If you didn't catch it, you'll have to go back to the beginning of the show and get these scriptures. These are all New Testament scriptures that talk about the Sabbath. It has never been done away with. And that is your mark that causes you to be Kodesh. Real quick, before we run out of time, I want to read Revelations 12 and 17. Study those scriptures and know them, and you can go back into the archives and listen to our Saturday shows to understand some of the different laws and different things we talk about. Listen to this, Revelations 12 and 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The whole world is deceived right now as they're out there shopping, spending money for Christ Mass. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. A lot of people think, let me say this real quick. A lot of people think this has stopped. There are angels, you know you have angels that protect you and watch over you, that still come down here to watch over you, and there's still a war going on. And Satan is still trying to seduce the angels that watch over you and protect you and get them to come to his side. Everybody thinks that stopped. No, it did not stop. Scripture also says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down having great wrath. So he has this whole world hypnotized and deceived through propaganda, through media, now through your vaccinations, your foods, and transhumanism. He's got everyone to the point where they'll be asking to be transformed and DNA tainted. But he's got everybody. I am running out of time. I'm going to continue, though. Let me read this. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, that is Yeshua, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, Ahaya, and the power of his Christ, Yeshua. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, the man that was up in court constantly accusing us, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Not only by us being washed in the blood of the Lamb, but by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That's crucial too. Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. This goes on to talk about the woman being nourished, how we'll be in the wilderness, but let me move on from there and go to Revelations 14, 9 and 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Let me pause. Too many people want to read into this and say this is symbology. And this is literal. But I'm not going to go into that because that was at the beginning. There's too many concepts to distract you right now as to what is the mark of the beast. When your focus should be keeping his statutes, laws, and commandments, and staying away from anything that you're going to put in your temple that's going to defile it. Verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. Stop worshiping prosperity, the beast, his image, and something to come and signs. You are deceived. Wake up. Come out of her, my people. Come out of this world system. Don't do what they do. Don't dance to the beat of their music. Be different. Abstain. Verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Who are the saints? The children of Israel. Psalms, I believe it's 149, tells us who the saints are. Do your study, your due diligence, and understand the precepts. The saints are the children of Israel. Here are they that keep the commandments of the Most High and the faith of Yeshua HaMashiach. Here is the patience of the saints. We exhibit patience by keeping the Sabbath and keeping these laws and commandments, for waiting for the soon return. And, you know, by us keeping it because we want to be close to him, that's having faith. And he said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? If you're not keeping these commandments with patience and waiting on him, your faith is not where he wants it to be when he returns. Let's look at, that was 14, 9 through 11. Let's look at Revelations 19 and 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach that worship Ahiah. For the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. So those that keep the testimony of Christ, this verse tells us what the testimony of the Messiah is. And it is the spirit of prophecy. The Bible tells us that in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. We're going to begin to prophesy. Everyone's going to lose faith in these 501c3 churches. Men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for what's getting ready to come upon this earth. But those who are keeping these commandments will begin to have revelation of this word. They're going to have dreams. He's going to speak to them, and we're going to be given oracles to give to people that are going to be looking for answers because of slap your neighbor, high five, and tell them I'm walking into my season. It's not going to work anymore. Or the other rituals or the Sunday worship, they're going to realize that it's been to their detriment, and they're going to be looking for hope and answers. The testimony of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the keeping of these commandments, is going to put you into the spirit of prophecy where he's going to use his remnant in the last hour. And I did not get to the scripture, but I want to say it again. And you look for it when we get off, because you need to be a Berean yourself. The ones that will walk into the gates of the city are the keepers of the commandment and those that have the testimony of the Messiah. That's my time. I am Elder V. This is the Israelite Way of Life, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. And I'm going to say to you, as I always say, while you're resting, that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey and not a destination. Shabbat Shalom.
For a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all, and
And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me, serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idol. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. He's longing for a child which will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me. Give him their all, give it all. He wants.